from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who doesn't put the lime in his coconut. He puts it, because I said, I don't like that. I like it in my water. And I do shake it all about, but in this one I don't, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taking being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. And yeah, it'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of this show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode, did the theme music, Carl W., Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter. And I want to thank our listeners, Facebook group, and the moderators over there that moderate in their spare time. Stacy, Laura, Keith, Julie, Jennifer, and Sarah. And that's it. Let's keep the show going. Hey, up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, emotions, wind, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use the lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. But basically what I'm trying to do is keep you company in a safe place so you can drift off into sleep. Kind of like a distraction, kind of like a friend. I call myself your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar bud, your boar cuz. It could be just pod guy or pod boy or pod... How about pod kid? Maybe I could get a sidekick called the pod kid. I don't know. Does that seem a little trite and old-fashioned? I don't know. Maybe I could come back to that. But so if you're new here, here's what to expect. Structurally, the show is about, it starts out with about 4 to 6 minutes of business. That's how we keep over 600 archived episodes free and how we keep the podcast going. And then we have an intro, which I've just started. The intros are usually about 12 minutes or so of me explaining the podcast and trying to come up with a metaphor about how the podcast works. And after that will be an episode. Tonight we're going to start our new series, which hopefully you'll like. I think I'm excited about it. It's definitely pretty dreamy and sleepy. And ideally be like a slow, very slow moving, gentle journey to carry you off into dreamland. But because it's a podcast, let me explain a couple of things. If you're new this year, welcome so much. Thank you for checking the show out. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening this far. This podcast is a bit different, so that's why I want to cover the structure with you and what to expect. Just because this is a podcast, this is one of the rare podcasts you don't need to listen to. I hear from a lot of people that like the podcast. They say, hey, man, I listened to your podcast. I barely heard anything. And that's great. This is a podcast you can listen to, or you can play it and not listen to it. You can, I don't know what to do. Can you listen to it but not hear it, or can you hear it and not listen? Either one. Guess what? Either one, or neither, or neither. You could be in its presence, or you could reflect its presence. You can receive the sound waves or, reflect them. Whatever works for you. But this podcast, it's a podcast you can listen to. That's your choice, or that you can pay attention to. Ideally, I'll get enough of your attention that you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, like I said. But then I'll be kind of keeping you company with my chatter, my rambling, my lulling, soothing tones, hopefully, and my goofy storytelling that you could drift off at any time. I make the shows that are about an hour. I put, the shows are complete, but you don't need to listen. But the reason I make the shows about an hour and that they have a beginning, a middle, and end is not only so you don't have to listen, but so you don't have to feel any pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here an hour to keep you company in the deep, dark night. And you can even play back-to-back episodes, as some listeners do. So you could listen for 8 hours. You could listen for 2 minutes. Whatever works for you. I'll be here to help. And ideally, this is the only way I know how. So it doesn't work for everybody because this is kind of just like a silly storytelling podcast. But the reason I want to help is because I've been there, tossing and turning, and I just want to be a friend, a friendly distraction in the deep dark night. When I was a kid and I couldn't sleep, I listened to the radio and it never put me to sleep, but just hearing those voices, whether it was Dr. Nemento or the DJs on classical radio in particular, or old-time radio, it was, it was something else to think about than what was keeping me awake. It took my mind off stuff, and that's really why I'm here, is to take your mind off stuff. Usually I have something goofy. I was, on the top of my mind that I could talk about. I try to create a metaphor for the podcast. But I said, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. For some reason, I'm not objectify sidekicks to superheroes. But I guess it's a weird thing to explore. It's not that I don't feel like I deserve a sidekick. And it's not like I don't need a sidekick, but I don't think a sidekick would, what if I become your, I guess in some sense, this is the reality of the situation. And this is the dynamic we're kind of entering into, is I'm your sleep sidekick. Like I said, you can call me your boar bud, your boar bay, your boar friend. I don't know, sleep sidekick, it has alliteration. It doesn't have, I'll be your sleepy sidekick. We could, a kid sidekick. Is there any sidekicks called kid sidekick? That doesn't have sleep in there, though, but if I was kid sidekick, that would be pretty, there might be already one, but, that's what I'll be. I'll be here at your side. I'll be here talking to you. Usually sidekicks speak with a more dynamic range and vocal excitement. So let me see if I could do a little sidekick monologue in this space. I'm totally your sidekick here. Yeah, totally. So excited to be here talking to you in lulling, soothing tones. Don't worry. Hey, do you want, you could listen to this too. If you put it at 2x speed, it might actually sound like a sidekick. hey, do you totally want me to hold your utility belt? I could really carry that for you. Great. Because all I want to do is, like, you're a hero. You're really on a hero's journey, hero. I'm so glad to be in service to the heroines and the heroes of the world. They're just out there doing their best, living their lives. That's who I want to be a sidekick for, is so that you can go and get a good night's sleep. I love your utility belt. It's totally cool and rad. But yeah, I want to be your sidekick because I feel like you deserve a good night's sleep. And I want you to flourish. That's what the world really needs, is more people out there flourishing. And that's why I wanted to become your sleepy sidekick, is because I want to help you get some sleep. It kind of sounds like an uncomfortable kid giving an essay. But I think you can imagine, like, I can picture the much faster pace of a sidekick talking. But that's really what I want to do. And I'm more than happy to apply to be your sidekick. That's kind of what these intros are. And it usually takes two or three times, for all my applications. So even my sidekick ones. So see how it goes. Yeah, usually my first application, I lose. Second application, I spill coffee on. Third application makes it into my car. But then it reaches my passenger seat floor and gets... the fourth application usually gets into an envelope, maybe even with a stamp. But then somewhere between my couch, my kitchen, and my car, that one goes. So usually fifth application is when I actually get sent out, even an email, because even if I'm doing it online, somehow I can still spill coffee on it. This podcast is really me auditioning, applying to be your sleep sidekick. Someone that sits across the room from you, chattering calmly, trying to keep you company, and offer you an alternative of something to sleep to sleep to, other than whatever else is keeping you awake. So I think that's it. Like I said, it takes a few tries. This podcast is a little bit different, so give it a few tries. Most reviewers say the first few times I said, "What is this thing?" But really, I want to help. I've been there ever since I was a kid. And all I ever really wanted was someone to sit there and say, hey, that seems tough. And that's what I know it's tough. And I want to help. And that's why I make this show. And I'm proud to make it for you. Now, it doesn't work for everybody. So if it doesn't work for you, there's a couple other, there's Pink Noise. Binaural Beats are good. Waves are pretty good. LibriVox has got a lot of different options out there, or other audiobooks. So try some of that stuff. But I really hope, and I work very hard, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. All right, everybody. Hey, well,
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to our new series, which is yet untitled. It kind of a long working title, but this is, I'm probably recording this maybe 2 or 3 weeks before you'll hear it. Ideally, 2 or 3 weeks. But I don't have a calendar in front of me. If you're a patron, you may be hearing this even earlier. But this new story, it's I think the working title would be, I don't know, the girl who was raised by, I don't know. I don't want to give, I guess it doesn't matter. It's a sleep podcast, but, I don't know. This one will have slightly more mystery because it's very episodic, but it also has a through story. But a through story you're allowed to sleep to because it's just so it's an episodic series. You can listen to them in any order. This happens to be the first one. So I have to do a little bit like, I guess, pre-prep here and prepare you, but it'll be a new series. It'll be a little discussion of, what am I saying, discussion? Sorry, I got distracted. But each episode will be narrated by a different narrator. But the protagonist will remain the same, and it should be a nice one. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm always excited before the first episode. Sometimes the excitement carries me through to six episodes. Right around six episodes, where it gets really tough. Though sometimes it gets tough on episode two. But I have the concept. I kind of want to leave it a mystery because I think it'll be even. This may be our sleepiest one yet. You know, be heavy on the sleepy imagery. This is our new series. I don't know what else to tell you other than to, I don't think there'll be any Antonio Banderas, this will probably have the shortest setups, because the concept, if I explained it to you, this would be the first time other than like Nuns in Space, that one needed more to explain how I got into space with Nuns in Space. This isn't a Nuns in Space, but this one's a one-sentence explanation. I mean, making sense of it, but you could, you know, you just kick back. So kick back. Here's how I'll do a transition, because it's always hard. The nice thing about having Antonio Banderas come in when he's available is that we can do a transition. But kind of transition yourself. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat before, a rowboat, or a nice, like a boat, like that's just rocking, or just imagine yourself on a dock, one of those floating docks, plenty of space on all sides of you, though, floating gently in the water, connected to the earth and to the ground, so not just steps away, and maybe your feet are dangling, and you're sitting there, and the sun is shining on you. And you're kind of relaxing. And the one thing you can tell is that nice, calming motion of the water. The calm, barely noticeable up and down of the water as we begin our new series. So when you first came to us, you were placed in my care. And the strange thing was, it wasn't because of my name, but because of my gentle motion, the steady rocking, the floating, the gliding, the splash and the swish of the water. I've always wondered if the caretaker knew you were coming when he repaired my pumps, when he cleaned the debris out of the canal, and then he refilled, and the water began to flow. And once again, it churned and churned, around and around. And then he set to work repairing the first boat, and he placed it back in the water, and the caretaker got in. And he lied down in the boat as it slowly wound around. As he lay there, he almost had the same look you have on your face some nights, that peaceful look that goes across your face as the moonlight reflects in your eyes. But then he really got to work, building the rest of me back up, bushwhacking what nature had reclaimed, but just, I guess, more bush shaping than bushwhacking, bit by bit. And he made sure that your leaf was ready to cradle you, like floating on the water, holding you as some of the leaves, the real leaves in my canal, cradle those little dandelion puffs sometimes. And I began to take shape once again as I had when the guests of Pass had come. Because what good is Mother Goose's journey through a treasury of tales without the journey? And without the tales, I guess. And then you joined us. You came into my life, into my arms in some sense, and around my arms, into the boat, resting there for a time as I took care of you through the attraction, and the caretaker came, and you grew, and the caretaker fed you, and changed you, and taught me how to use Mitronics to do the same. And you were surrounded by these fairy tales, as the guests had called them. The caretaker had put them all back together, and you would watch them, and you would listen to them, and at times I almost grew jealous of them, being able to make eye contact with you, even though it was just through me, and they were a part of me. Sometimes they, I don't know, I guess it's just a Mother Goose's jealousy. And you never saw the caretaker, really, except when you were really young. He wanted to stay separate from you for some reason. And so Mitronics would help you and hold you, and we would teach you to walk. But every night you returned to the leaf, and you floated around, gently rocking, gently bobbing, winding and winding, and sleeping most every night so soundly. I know the guests didn't have sleep like you did. But then the fretting began with the caretaker. After you learned to walk and move around, the caretaker seemed concerned that you wouldn't travel outside of me. You remained within my attraction. You stayed close to the winding journey of the canal. And the caretaker said, you cannot go in circles forever. And so, on those nights when you slept, I began to take on the caretaker's worries, and so did the rest of the park. For the caretaker said, we have a sense of purpose, and this is not it. While I am the caretaker, you are the attractions. And he said, it's time for a refurbishment, Mother Goose. That's what they used to call it at these parks anyway. Sometimes the refurbishments were extreme, and sometimes they were a tune-up, the caretaker explained to me, and I kind of, my memories, I searched, and the rest of the park searched them for how would we motivate you? And we said, to what? And the caretaker said, to venture out outside of you, Mother Goose, at first. And secretly, I know I did not want you to leave, so I may have been, working wholeheartedly. But you didn't seem to want to leave either. Or I argued, were you ready to leave? I felt like you were unaware that there was a world, a park outside of me. In the worlds, within the park, is a funny thing, but, and then there was another world outside of us, outside of the park. I guess I would say a lesser world, but a world I was unaware of, except through the caretaker and the guests. But we began to see what our purpose would be, to get you out into the world of the park at first, and then to get you... I can't think any further than that. And even at the time, I kind of refused because I said, could she sleep here every night? And the caretaker said, I'm not sure. She'll have to decide. I was torn. Never before. I mean, sometimes when the guests, the child guests would journey, I would say they weren't half bad, but I guess this is what the caretaker calls love, or the guests, or the other attractions. But the caretaker said you needed to go. It was essential. And he told us to scan our memories again of guests of past and the experiences of the guests, and that could inform us of how to move forward. And so I looked on my memories of the guests from long ago and the behavior and what was underneath the behavior and how could we reshape those tales. And I would listen to the caretaker thinking, because they were, they always came to leave their world behind. That was why they were at the park, but they couldn't really leave it behind. I mean, some of them could, but most of them, they seemed to just be a temporary visitor, and they wished they could stay. I'd say it was a panoply of feelings that we could sense with them, and what they were telling themselves and how they were acting. I think the word was preoccupied, but they were there to suspend their lives in our silly dreamlike version of the world. But I began to start to shape my themes around our discussions and say, okay, well, these were the things that the guests wanted for the guest children, the parents and the children. And it started with the Red Riding Hood, just setting out from a home that we said, okay, there's Red Riding Hood setting out. Maybe you'll see yourself in her, waving goodbye. And then the next was the Billy Goat's Gruff, and we just had to change that because all of us remembered the children running and the parents and the workers, the hosts, saying no running. And so we rearranged the Billy Goat's Gruff to Billy Goat's Rush. And, you know, even the caretaker tried to record more audio for that. And then the troll was saying, no running, no running, no, no, no. And showing a scraping of the knee of one of the billy goats in exchange for the running. And then we had the Sleeping Beauty, which you always seemed to look curious at, the hero on the horse and the prince in the Sleeping Beauty. But the caretaker was, because the caretaker said, what are the things are you remembering? And I said, sitting still, even in the boat, in my boat. And everyone started to chime in, all the other attractions. I said, yes, sitting still. It was an essential part of being a guest. Must have been very important for some reason out there in the larger world. Or, you know, of course, we could have said, well, maybe it was something else, and so you remade a Sleeping Beauty and caused her to keep moving back and forth, and that it was even the little micey poos and the godmother and the hero and the horse saying, sit still, please, look at you, you're moving back time. I don't know, it was a bit dreamlike, and that was a flourish of the caretaker. But otherwise, he said it wouldn't make even less sense. And I said, yes, children move around a lot. I never understood why that was one of the values, to just sit still, please. I can hear it 1,000 times in my ears. And then there was Hansel and Gretel in their thing, and that was another easy one, because we had them wandering anyway. And that was another one. So instead of them leaving the candy thing, we had them wandering off, and a nice grandmother taking the children to the park and buying them treats as guests. And then the children, as we saw play out so many times, just wandering off, not paying attention. And so we worked to arrange that scene to remind you not to wander off. Though in some sense we were trying to make you wander out of me, but I just remember that was, do not wander off, they would say. And it already was kind of like Hansel and Gretel were doing that, but we tried to reinforce it there. And then there was another important one, very important one, which was another easy Jack and the Beanstalk. Going where you're not allowed, where you don't belong, past the signs that say do not enter. So all we had really had to do was keep it almost all the same, except for Jack getting away with the goose and the golden eggs, and Jack climbing past all the signs that say do not enter, area closed to guests. They said that's a very good one for them. And then there was the cave and the genie and the lamp and a bunch of riches in gold. And that one we just said, we tried to say, well, that's too expensive. That was another one. Why, like, just pick one thing. And I want. So we just had the genie, like a child that we could make, that we built, you know, a Tronic child, obviously. And then the genie shaking the genie's head. I think they called that greed a gluttony. I want to just pick one thing. It's too expensive. And the caretaker had to do those voices. And then we had the three little pigs and the puppy wolf. We did that. We tried to teach you wash your hands was another one. So we had to sneak that one in there. So we tried to go for two because I said, we forgot about wash your hands after you use the potty. It's another one that none of the guests followed anyway, even the parents all the time. And then the idea that at some point the park must close and you must go home. And the children saying, no, I do not want to leave. And this, you know, began the message we were trying to express to you, that it would be time to leave and you wouldn't want to go. And the puppy wolf was trying to encourage the children to go, leave the park, it's closed, wash your hands and leave the park, please, three little pigs. Well, two, because one was not washing one's hands. And the other two pigs were trying to go. We were trying to get them just to go into your house. Let me blow you away from this park because it's closed and you refuse to leave. Though the park is closed, we know you had a good day as a guest, but now it's time to go. And then there was the big finale scene that we had to remake, which was that like everyone was happy, even the antagonists, like the trolls and the puppy dog, the puppy wolf, and Little Red Riding Hood was there. So we said, okay, well, she was at the beginning, first leaving her home. Let's show her celebrating. But the whole idea of the grandmother seeming essential and the kind of the way things were like, we just said, well, how do we get this right? Why is everyone so happy? No one seemed very happy at the park at the end of the day. A few did. But we also tried to show, geez, all this running around and doing and eating and spending. So it was a little bit muddled, but we didn't know, we barely just changed it. We said that, Little Red continuing to walk off, and tried to make a little shrug of her shoulders, with the Tronic, but it was not easy. And, we said, okay, other than that, I guess that kind of makes a message, she's learned these things, and now she's walking off and leaving. And then, of course, a few of the other attractions had to butt in and say, well, I don't get this. I said, well, this is the best we'll do. Let's see how she reacts. For we'd kept everything under tops, and you kept trying to peek a look. It was a good thing we planned it out ahead of time. The way I make it sound, it sounds like it took much longer than it did. But as soon as we revealed it to you, it was clear you did not like it at all. And at first we thought it was because we had changed things and you were so used to it, but you noticed you started to cover the heads of the adults and And then you started to pull the little Billy Goats and the Hansel and Gretel and Little Red out of the scenes, away from the scenes. And then you got into one of my leaves and you stayed for a while. And now you are old enough to move around and bathe yourself and get yourself water and fresh water and find the food the caretaker had left for you. And even you explored cooking and figuring out how to use the implements that your caretaker left behind. And you even seemed a little curious, but suddenly became listless and always tired and lying in leaf. And of course we were all, we said, oh no, what have we done wrong? How could this have gone much worse? And all of us started to hear louder and louder the echoes of the guests in these rides. And I still to this moment do not know if they were real or recorded, or just echoing my memory of the whole park remembered it, even the asphalt, even the plants that had cracked up and grown through the asphalt, if they retained the memories of the guest chatter. And I guess it was a nervous chatter. And so we saw it, or we assumed it was what was impacting you, and that the guest experiences maybe were deeper than we had known, and somehow this echo from the past was making you feel down and tired and sleepy. And so a few nights later, it wasn't even a decision, and as you fell into a deep sleep, we instead of refurbishing it, we almost closed the attraction down. We removed all the tronics and all the figures, and removed all the audio. You know, somebody had to take them, and we put them all in the old boats in storage, haphazardly. So just throw, you know, put the pigs there, it doesn't matter. Let's just strip the ride down. And then there was nothing to view, but still you stayed in the boat. And then the caretaker shredding exploded, as did all of ours. And we said, okay. And the caretaker said, we must stop the motion of the canal next and see if she sets out from it. And you didn't. And then the caretaker said, we must drain the canal then. And see if that affects it, that the lack of stimulation, maybe this is, the caretaker said, don't worry, you know, we're concerned, this is good, but maybe this is pushing us towards something, towards a solution. Maybe this will help her leave and, you know, drive you to explore outside of me, which I did not like, but now it was in a position where I cared more for me, more for you and your, what you, I don't know, than what I really wanted. And sometimes you would get out and walk to the exit, and you did seem to grow bored from the lack of stimulation finally. But you wouldn't leave. You'd look at my exit, and you'd look at my entrance, and you seemed to go into a stage of a pouting, I think they called it, as a guest, or anger. And you would stomp your feet, and you would berate the boat and tell it to move, and you would, it was like you knew I was there watching you, and you were expressing your displeasure with me. But then things changed further, before you started in your more active mode, I guess, your active displeasure. You started pulling levers and pressing buttons, and you found the water outlets, and you refilled the canal, and you kept testing and found the motors that drove the water and started the water flowing again. And you started to explore parts of my attraction that you had never been in. The backstage, and you found the old boat storage filled with all the tronics and all the parts from all the scenes. and you looked on it so curious, so perplexed, and you started to see behind the magic, I guess, in some sense of what made the attraction work. And now you didn't realize that I could control the tronics beyond the mechanisms, but you started to look at where they needed to be coupled with power, or where they needed to be charged. And then you found out how to set the other boats loose. The boats were still filled with the tronics in some of the scenes, and you set all the other boats loose into the canal. And then you found out how to regulate their release, and you seemed to be delighted. I don't ever recall seeing you clap before. But as a boat just piled full of, red and a troll into some plastic flowers, you would clap and laugh and run alongside it. And we were all perplexed, and you did this for days and days and days, and jumped in and out of boats. And you went from being like a child of the winter, resting and hibernating like some of our unpaid guests do, the mammals, to frolicking with the bees of the spring. I don't mean to jump too much into Mother Nature for our Mother Goose, but you watched and you watched and you pondered and you raced, and then you started to ponder the layout of the canal, and then you began to pull out tronics, and you began to pull out the scenes and place them in places. And finally, when all you had emptied all of the boats, you started to design, I guess, so to refurbish me. And looking back just now, I think you were, some sense, maybe you didn't even know it, preparing me, for now you were handling me in this new way. We had this new connection that I didn't even realize at the time how wonderful it felt to have you actively participating with me, to have you shaping me. It felt different than the caretaker's attention, but similar, and I felt suddenly alive, I guess, in a new way, and important. And it was different to have your attention. I guess I was your caretaker for a while, and I drove pleasure from that, or happiness, or whatever the guests call it. But now it was something new, like you were interested in me in this new, deeper way. And deeper you did, because you started to arrange things in a way that even the designers never did. And you set up a scene with the puppy wolves and the troll and the pigs. And then in the cave, you even found a way to make the boat stop for a moment in the cave by putting stuff under the water that would slow the boat down until the current built up behind it. And you removed the lights from the cave, and you placed some of the sound boxes within the cave and hooked in some red lights. So it was a strange thing. I still didn't know what you were doing. And then you hit a lot of the humans and the heroes and the heroines and towards the end of the ride, but back in the brush. I said, what is she up to? And some of the other attractions were worried, but they couldn't feel the palpable level of feelings that I was unfamiliar with that were emanating from you. And then I started to see, for you took three boats, and you took the rest out of operation, as they say. And in each boat you placed a goat, the smallest goat, the medium goat, and the biggest goat. And you made them look, even though they were already siblings, you kind of reshaped their eyes and things, so they looked even more, a bit like you now, I could say.
And then I watched as you watched, and you watched the timing. And then you waited at that first scene with the strange puppy wolves and the troll and the pigs. And you waited for that littlest goat, which you had wrapped up, swaddled in a blanket in the leaf boat. You jumped in the boat with it. And you made sure its eyes were seeing the figures, the tronics moving. And you held that little baby goat. You cuddled it, you patted it, and you calmed it. And you spoke to it in this soothing way that I always wished I had learned. And now, if I have another guest, I know I have learned it from you, how to do this. A calm reassurance, saying, it's okay, it's okay. And then more, you started touching your chest and in the baby goat's chest and then pointing at them and saying that you were the same and showing the sign of a beating heart. I said, what is she teaching? Oh, I understand, but I don't have words for it. And then you went on to the cave and waited for the second, the medium-sized goat. And you jumped in the boat with that goat as it headed into the cave. And then the boat paused in the darkness with the flickering red lights and the strange echoes from the speakers. And I didn't even realize that you had hidden signs and things on the walls to look at until you showed the goat. You said, okay, yes, it's dark, but let your eyes adjust. And you pointed at the little things you had drawn, smiling faces and dancing goats, that you just had to pause and look in the darkness to see. And that the flickering red lights weren't there. Well, at first, I guess I'm saying this is what I thought when I watched that goat. Said, oh, dear. But then you could see that the flickers were helping you see the different paintings you made. And that it was something to be interested in instead of apprehensive about. I couldn't, oh. And then you had the biggest goat, which was about your size, and which then I began to understand. And that goat, you took an active thing in riding it through the woods and the bushes and the palms where you had hidden the humans and their eyes all watching. And then you took the goat out and you would walk it along the path where you had more of the princess and the princesses and things, smiling and waving, and then you would just leave the goat there. And then I watched as you moved the goat closer, and I knew that the goat was headed towards the exit, and you would have the goat go back and look at the people, and look at the exit, and look at the park, and question and sniff them, and you would even rub against them, you and the goat, like, who are you? What is this place? What is out there? And then you would have the goat sleep with them, and it was like, oh, this, I began to sense this yearning to be with the guests, as I had yearned for you to stay with me forever. And I even heard you talking of building this, what is this, you know. I heard all of that. And then you moved more and more of these remade tronics into guests, lining the path towards the exit, changing their faces to even bigger smiles, and with open palms holding out, leading the way, or finally a few of them walking out the exit, holding their hands back towards that goat. And then I began to see little goat tracks that you were painting somehow. leading right up to my exit. I didn't know when I would not have seen you painting these. And then I saw them cross over that line. And each night the steps grew till, you know, out of the line of my exit to out of my queue, the exit queue. And then one morning, I saw them trail off into the park beyond where I could see. And then I don't know how you had found it, and you would revisit the other things, but you found a second baby goat, and you set it with 2 feet in my attraction and 2 feet out, and it was leaving. It was a walking out of me into the park, and then I realized I hadn't seen the caretaker in some time. Though some food had been dropped off and hidden where you did your cooking, I found myself remembering a look on a lot of the guests' face, which now I could say is like a forlorn pride that they would shift uncomfortable in the seats of the boat or in the line, or as they're boarding the boat. I don't know how else to describe that look on their face, almost the hackles on their skin, but that would indicate it was a bad thing and not both bad and good, or neither. But that feeling of forlorn pride, when a child would say, "That's okay, I can get in by myself," or "I'll ride by myself," or "Look at what I've done." Because that's how I felt when I knew you had exited my ride. I felt just like those guests looking on their children, as I knew you had moved on to where you needed to go, to the next attraction, which I guess was already being prepared or trying to prepare itself for you, for whatever you need. But I'll be here, my leaf will be here, and I'll be telling the tale you designed until you return. But my water will be waiting. My water will be swishing. It will be meandering in the turns and around with comforting motion. And I will comfort the goats in your stead when they face what they think are trolls and pigs and puppy wolves or darker sparkling caves, or unsure whom and who the makers are. I will be here waiting for you and in your stead, gently flowing, as I say, wherever you are now, good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Keikos123 said, "Scooter, you're a pioneer and I love your work and your contributions. Thank you from Australia." Then Pack and Ship did not like the podcast. No, 1 star. "Excited to hear Christine Vacation and narrative version. Just a bunch of rambling on about it. Couldn't even tell you. Seems to go in pointless circles. Ugh, frowny face." Pretty accurate, though. LiveRab23 from Australia says, "Best darn thing I've ever done. It's not the same when I don't fall asleep hearing your ace stories. Nothing has helped me in the past. This is right on. Thank you, and please don't ever stop. You go with me everywhere now. Hands, like a fist bump, you know. Thank you." Hypno Mom says, "Entertaining and hypnotic. Sometimes I'm able to fall asleep, but most of the time I stay awake listening to different episodes. It's unlike any podcast over here, and I can't recommend it enough. I get mild anxiety, and since as a kid, My mom would talk to me about mundane things to take my mind off it. That's what this podcast reminds me of. This is No TNG from Fall Asleep Till Scooter. Regular listener, and sometimes not so much, don't like the TNG stories or episodic stories. So I don't listen to those. No Doctor Who, please. Just random stories. Yeah, this is a good reason why I try to, like, really sacrifice to keep the archives free so that I can try to have a little something for everybody. Thank you. Sleepless Bob shuts off invasive thoughts. Troubled by repetitive thoughts or problems you can't solve? Check. Sometimes you can't let it go for a few hours. Gentle magic in this narrator's voice as he rambles on and diverges. Thank you. Mega says, great podcast if you're stressed or have insomnia. Sometimes it doesn't work, but my brother keeps me up and this helps. Thank you. That's from Canada. If you have trouble sleeping, try it. This is from the real Toto. Honestly, at this point, I have trouble sleeping without the podcast. Frustrating. This is from Still Awake, so I guess so. Put me to sleep already. For the first 5-7 minutes, he talks about ads and sponsors, and then I'm frustrated. Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, try to keep the podcast free for everybody. Best sleep of my life from Cindy. Lifelong insomniac. Since discovering sleep with me, I've never slept better. I sleep all night. Set it to continuous play. Thanks, Apple, for fixing that, and I'm out for 8 hours. Here's Hellcat Sally. Silences your mind with quirky sweetness. Oh, thank you. Very often, you know, I get, when I lie down, my mind races. I got the day, the brain, I got kind of like a toddler, cranky, exhausted. This podcast silences those mental shenanigans in a charming and quirky way. Creaky voice, odd yet soothing tangents into the quiet sleep. Not every episode works. The recaps, the shows don't necessarily work for me. But the other stuff does, but it hardly matters. There are more than enough to choose from. And I revisit favorite episodes like Old Friends. I often listen during the day because I like the original stories, so it's a twist. And I tend to spend my morning commute delighted at the humor and sweetness that made me sleep the night before. Favorite podcast ever. Thank you. Superbook Girl said, try it out. This podcast helps me fall asleep when I've had a stressful day and my mind won't calm down. I didn't think it would work, but it does. Works like magic. That's from Khaleesi, but Khaleesi. It does what it says on the tin. Lenny from the UK says, as a newbie, I'm hooked and look forward to tuning in. Love the sleepy voice and the way I can smile and snooze while listening to the story. From the UK. Sleepless nights are few and far apart. That's from Miss Emma in Canada. Dealing with a lot. Now I'm getting to sleep faster, staying asleep longer. Total game changer. That's from Falling 40. Massive overanalyzer. I'm out usually 30 minutes or less. Adriana says, wonderful resource. Usually listen to audiobooks. This is, then I heard about Sleep With Me from the Blogus. Thanks, Blogus. And now my one and only resource. So thank you. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. And let's keep the show going. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Luxe. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Luxe collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge.
And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is our best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.